Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets?
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody!
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I'm Jamie Johnston, your host today. I'm joined by Mike the Birdman Dodd and Cameron Allen. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Again, he's never going to say an actual word at that intro. Today is a review prototype for none other than Gears of War 4. So today we're going to be going through our opinions on Gears of War 4, between the gameplay, all of its aspects, and the multiplayer for sure. I have been spending an insurmountable amount of my time on this game. As we've had in the past with Gears of War Judgment's review...
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all know that I was pretty sour about that game. But Gears of War 4, I'm pretty happy. What about you guys?
Well, with me, I didn't quite know what to expect with Gears of War 4. I wasn't super excited about it when it was announced back at E3, 2014? Or something like that, where we first saw JD and the rest of his friends fighting those... What were they called, like Snatchers or something? I was like, okay, this looks like Resident Evil meets Gears of War. I'm like, all right. But
see, I got a completely different take from that. I was like, huh, it's kind of got a bit of horror aspect to it in the tension that the original Gears had. So
see, I never found that because I never felt like I was being swarmed by the Locust. I always felt like there was... just the right amount of them on screen, like no more than six, so I never felt threatened. Mm. But I can talk about that a little bit more later on. But no, going through this, though, I was pleasantly surprised after I beat the game, and the more I played the multiplayer, the more I started to like the experience that I had with it. Although I will say there is one sequence in this game that just drags on entirely too long.
So I fell in love with it immediately. Dodd fell in love with it over time. How was your experience, Cameron?
Well, I'm a huge Gears of War fan. Anyone who's followed me at all knows that. I love the games. Always have, always probably will, depending on if they release something similar to Judgment in the future. But yeah, that's debatable. I'm very much enjoying the game. Played through the whole campaign over the span of a day, which ate up an entire, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours. I really enjoyed where they went with the story. I really liked the clashing ideals between like the new and old generation of Gears. I like the new cog. I like the inclusion of DBs, all that sort of thing. The multiplayer, I think, is fantastic. I think it pays really good tribute to people who loved Gears of War 3's multiplayer. I'm very much enjoying the game so far.
All right, great. So we're going to start with the graphics of the game. I played it on Xbox One, the Xbox One S, the actual Gears of War version. I went and purchased that. That's how much I love Gears.
Wow.
Yeah, it was... I got a job, and then I'm like, I'm going to start blowing all the paychecks right away, right?
Like a smart, responsible adult.
Did both of you play it on Xbox, or did either of you try it on PC?
I'm actually going to download the Windows 10 version after we're done the show.
See, I am as well. I have a friend who has it on PC, and he says the graphics blow you away even
more. Yeah, it's ridiculous. There is a demo of the Windows 10 version at X16, and like the campaign was running at 60 frames, and I almost like crap my pants. It looks so amazing.
On the Xbox One S, the game looks fantastic. Like, just the initial starting screen with JD standing there is like, I actually started streaming it, and I had a friend come on the stream. They're sitting there like, wow, that actually looks really good. I was not expecting that. And the rest of the game is just as good. And that this is just on the Xbox. You can crank up the settings on your PC. So if you've bought the game digitally, just go ham on it. I mean, everything about this game's graphics are good, in my opinion. So all of the Lancer effects, like gun effects, executions are really they're really cool. Did you guys try the new style of execution? You can slam in against a piece of cover. You can actually reach over and grab an enemy, drag them to your side, and then stab them in the face with a knife.
Yeah, I really like how they included that. It was like a really nice addition to something other than the mantle kick, which people had a lot of problems with in Gears of War 3. And they've continued to add it in, but they've added an extra feature where you can actually like prevent it from happening.
Yeah, if you hit B so, quickly enough.
I really like how they included that. And I think that the new execution style where you pull somebody over and just stab them in the head or in the heart or whatever is really, really interesting.
Not saying that the regular executions aren't still there. Down somebody, you can still do the regular style executions by holding Y with your specific weapon. You can pick them up and make them a human shield. Or just, you know, boot them in the face.
I was actually pretty sure. I was actually playing multiplayer just before the show started today, and I'm pretty sure I saw a new execution or someone was a complete douchebag. They grabbed the guy. I guess they had the snub pistol or something, and they must have driven the guy's head into the floor for like a straight 30 seconds.
Oh, from punching him?
Yeah, I was just like, wham, wham,
yeah,
wham,
that was
wham.
Added in Gears of War 3, I believe. It's one of my favorite executions. If you have the snub pistol, you'll do that one. Every single weapon has its own type of execution, so that's something that's always been great about Gears. The blood and the gore, it's nice and filthy.
Yeah, except in Gears 3, like, what the execution was, it differed between the Cog and the Locust, just like it does now with the Cog and the Swarm. The Locust execution in Gears 3 is you rip their arm off and beat them to death with it.
Oh, yeah.
And this time you just, like, sort of slam their face into the ground, like, a bunch of times until it just explodes.
Yeah, I really love the executions. Graphically, this game is amazing. I think they get everything on point. Moving on to the audio, all of the sounds sound like Gears. So, like, the Lancer sounds really nice and gritty. Some of the newer weapons, they have impactful sounds for what they're doing. So, like, the drop shot gives you those audio cues of whenever you're shooting it out and whenever you're sending it downwards. So in the event that you're playing against somebody, that they shoot it, they don't end up dropping it straight into your skull, which is a really cool execution headshot with that. If you didn't know, whenever you shoot the drop shot, it flies in the air, and then when you let go of the trigger, it shoots straight down. If you land on someone's head, it drills down into their basically the core of their body and then explodes. once again, that's nice excessive. And gory. I know, right? It's amazing.
One thing I would say, it sounds like the Retro Lancer has a little bit less punch. It sounds a little bit less dirty than it did in Gears 3 anyway.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Even the damage that it kicks out, it doesn't feel like the same Retro Lancer. I actually haven't been using it much because of that. Like, I tried to use it like I did in Gears of War 3, and there's just something about it where it feels more like a close range weapon now.
Isn't it just a pickup now? Like, it kind of just is. Yeah, like,
which kind of sucks because it used to be one of my go to guns.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
That's right. I love the Retro Lancer.
Oh, I hate you.
If you haven't played Horde, then you'll enjoy that, Dodd. I think all of the classes except for maybe one or two, two of them, all of the classes except for the Engineer and the Soldier actually start with a Retro Lancer.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I admittedly have not played Horde just because it's just not my thing. I prefer versus, even though I'm utterly terrible at it, although...
So tonight we're going to have to play some Horde because I've been playing Horde nonstop.
Yeah,
Horde is my favorite thing from Gears of War 3, and this is the best iteration of it.
Yeah, but you play on good luck difficulty, whereas I'm like, this is baby's first Gears. I'm still not very good at it.
I don't mind going down to the other difficulties. It's just that's what I play on when I'm playing alone.
Crazy bastard.
I don't know.
I love difficulty in games, and Gears of War really puts that in. That's the next segment that I actually didn't have on the list is difficulty with Gears. I'm going to be doing a new series soon on difficulty on games and how they actually manage to manipulate their difficulty. Gears of War Judgment really annoyed me with the way they did their difficulty. Their AI basically just ran at you. And on the hardest difficulty, they just gained insane amounts of HP, insane amounts of damage, plus the rushing mechanic. So it was just, they rushed at you and insta-killed you. It sucked. It was not tuned properly. This Gears of War, the difficulty, when you ramp it all the way up, it's very much there without being cheap. There's only one or two missions in the game that actually have spots that are, well, you guys saw me when we were talking about the game on our Facebook. I had one specific area where the enemies are grenadiers and wretches. Well, they're called juvies in this one. They rush at you and they deal insane amounts of damage on the insane difficulty. And I had one heck of a time. Did you guys have any issues with the difficulty that you guys played on? Like, felt too easy for being, say you were playing on normal, did it feel too easy, did it feel too hard?
There were some sections down in the caverns area where I felt it was maybe a little too cheap. Like, there were points where it just seemed like there was a difficulty spike where the enemies just got really, really, really smart and really aggressive. No matter what cover I hid behind, they would spike me in the head. And I don't know, that section got me. Other than that, though, I never felt like there was any parts that were particularly hard. There were parts that were annoying as crap. Anything that felt like Horde mode felt annoying, except for the final one. I actually felt really, really, really powerful there. Other than that, though, I'd say that's pretty much been my experience with it.
Okay. So we can move on to the actual core gameplay of the game. It is very much Gears of War. It's similar to Gears of War 1, 2, and 3. Everything that we didn't like about Judgment was thrown out the window. They went back to the core style of the game. All of the weapons feel exactly like how they should with Gears, in my opinion.
I'd say you actually got a lot more use out of your Lancer than previous games. Like, you were using your chainsaw bayonet way more, and I was really happy about that.
See, maybe on your difficulty, on mine, yeah, I maybe got to chainsaw three guys.
Yeah, like, even in the campaign, though, like, they add a lot of obstacles that you have to cut through with your chainsaw, right? So, like, even if you're using it against enemies, like, there are tons of sequences where you just have to cut through, like, gross, slimy-looking shit, or you have to cut through, like, a locked gate or something like that. Like, I really like that they added that, because arguably, I think the chainsaw bayonet is probably one of the coolest, most unique things about Gears of War.
See, there's an interesting thing about that, is because you actually used your chainsaw for all that, that meant that you were enjoying using the Lancer. If you don't have the Lancer equipped, there is an alternate option. So if you come across those chains and you have a shotgun, your guy will actually hit him with the butt of the gun and break it. Oh. If you come across that slime that needs to be cut, your guy pulls out his knife and actually cuts through it.
Oh, that's cool. I wish I did that instead, too.
So you don't require the Lancer.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And that is another thing with the obstacles and stuff in the game. So there's new storms, which we probably should have went over on graphics.
Those are annoying. I hated the storms, but I loved the effects.
Yes.
I love the idea behind it and the added mechanics to it. So, like, because there's all this wind, when you pull out your grenade and you go to throw it, you can see the helpline. It's just dangling and bouncing through the air because it can't figure out where it's actually going to be thrown.
There's a specific spot in the campaign, if you guys remember, where they use one of those old sort of locust technologies where they whirl like a garbage ball at like this turret. I really liked how they incorporated the wind mechanic in there, where you had to like actually shoot away from the turret and allow the wind to like curve it in.
Yeah, that
was really cool. Like I really love the dynamic weather effects and all that sort of stuff. I don't like all those electricity things that come down. Like I thought they were kind of annoying, and they're actually
pain in the ass.
Yeah, like I died so many times there, and I actually questioned. I'm like, wow, am I just stupid, or is this like ridiculously hard to get through?
So we actually all agree on that then. The electricity storms thing, although looking really cool, was a friggin' pain in the ass. If you actually look at the patterns of the lightning coming through, it felt very much like playing an old school like
Frogger.
Galaga, like Frogger or like Galaga or something, or like a Twitch shooter like Ikaruga, where you just have to dodge a bullet hell.
It just felt unnecessary because it just interrupted the flow of gameplay, I felt.
Yes and no. I mean, I can see where they were coming from, but I think it would have been better done if it was like you could see maybe a trace of light at a certain spot, and then 1 second after it would shoot a bolt of lightning there, so you had to not be there. The wrapping lightning that all like intertwined at you, it was just a bitch to like actually dodge, especially on Insane. You got anywhere near those, you were dead. 100% insta-killed.
Another gameplay thing that I kind of noticed that I feel like should be addressed, although they have fixed it, which I'm really happy about, is I noticed with like launch, the UI was really, really laggy.
Oh, really?
It was just awful. Like it almost crashed. I had a game crash like a bunch of times when I was actually playing multiplayer. It was so bad. Like I'd start a match. And then, you know, you'd do, like, your standard roll to start off the match, or you'd start roadie running, and then it would just, like, stop for, like, a whole 5 minutes. And then the game would either say that it lost connection or would just restart the game where you don't even know where you are, and you're at, like, some random point on the map. But they've changed that, which I'm really happy about.
Yeah, was this during launch day or the second day?
And then, like,
there was a lot of lag issues. There was less lag issues with this game's launch than most multiplayer shooters, so I'm glad for that. And they fixed it really fast.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm pretty stoked about. Like, they didn't just let it sort of sit there, like, oh, whatever, the game still works. They fixed it, they got it out of the way, so just thought I'd mention it.
Just for everybody, this is a spoiler part of the review here. We are going to be getting into the storyline, but just before that, this is tying into the storyline, but near the end of the game, you get to get into, so again, spoilers, if you don't want to hear any spoilers, stop listening for a little while. You get into these giant mechs that Baird has
made.
Most
fun I've had in a Gears game in the entire series.
That was so good. Everything about that. As soon as you get on into the mech, doing that entire level where, like, especially on Insane, where you just felt so vulnerable the whole game, and then they're like, here's a giant mech suit. Have some fun.
Let me ask you guys this. During that sequence, after you killed the final boss, did you not expect one more section on foot?
I kind of did, yeah.
Because I was like,
didn't realize that was the end of the game.
Yeah, I was like, did I miss something? Do I have to beat this on Insanity? Because it feels like I feel incomplete.
Well, see, the thing with the way I saw it, is I was enjoying the game so much that it went by so fast. When I got there and was like, oh, wait, is there not another mission? That means it was a good game because I wanted to keep playing. It's unfortunate that there wasn't more, but I mean, they set it up for a sequel. That being said, let's get into the storyline. Me and Cameron are both major gearheads, so I understood where the storyline was coming from. As Cameron said, it's really cool how they introduced the new Gears and had the old Gears as well. One thing, and this is my only issue with the entire game, from a Gears of War nuthead standpoint, there's no Clayton Carmine. I'm upset about that.
There was Carmine, though.
Yeah.
He was in the village.
I'm pissed off about that, too. They killed him off so fast. You didn't even get to see him in person. It was like, oh, hey, he's in the distance on that turret. And then he just gets smoked out. Like, he takes down a bunch of planes. And you're like, yeah, this Carmine's a badass.
That's probably a joke, too. It could even be like something like, remember how with Gears of War 3, they did the whole campaign, like, oh, make sure Carmine dies or he lives. It could just be like, yeah, we don't care this time. He's dying. now.
I understand that, like, it was another Carmine. They wanted to kill him off. But the thing about all of the Carmines is you actually meet them. They're the either the rookie or they're a badass, whatever. But at least you face to face are like, oh, hey, I get to like this character a little bit. That guy, you see him for a second and he runs off. So I didn't even get to see what he
looked like.
You know
what? It wouldn't surprise me if that Carmine is covered in some expanded universe material, be a novel or a comic book.
Well, it's speculated that he is the fourth Carmine brother because there was four of them, and he would be Damian Carmine. He would have been the youngest one out of the four brothers, so he would actually be around the same age as maybe a little bit older than JD.
Okay.
So he would have been the little brother that was stayed at home during the wars. That's the speculation, but they only called him Carmine. They didn't say he was Damian Carmine. They didn't say he was the cousin Carmine. It wasn't expanded upon, and you barely even got to see him. So, from what I could see, he was wearing a cog helmet like all the other Carmines, but he was in outsider cloak. So, he had, the tattered, all that stuff. So it kind of clashed.
I wonder if he's one of the multiplayer characters, because I'm just...
He is not.
That's unfortunate, because I actually have a AE Day cog soldier as my current avatar, and in my mind he's a Carmine.
All of the past years there have always been the cog specific soldiers that you can choose for multiplayer, but there's also been Anthony Carmine, Benjamin Carmine, and then eventually Clayton Carmine, and there's nothing about them anywhere in this game. Not in the multiplayer, you can't choose any of them. I'm sure they'll add them as DLC, but
yeah, I was about to say, give it a season's pass update or something.
I personally like the Carmine family more than I like any other character in the game, so the fact that they didn't allow me to play as one in the multiplayer really pissed me off.
If we're going to talk about kind of story beats here, and this is relating to the end of the game, so...
Plug your ears if you don't want to hear it.
Major spoilers for the next, 2 minutes. I kind of felt like having Reyna and Kate be related to Mira, the Locust Queen. There's just something about that just rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't want the bad guys to be Locust in this game. And yeah, I guess they're the Swarm now. Just fuck off. They're Locust, but with a different coat of paint.
They're cocooned and then they became the Swarm. They're upgraded versions of the Locust that mutated. The thing with the Queen Mira thing and them being descendants of her, with the previous Gears, there was always a lot of mystery around the origin of the Locust. And there was a lot of stuff about Queen Mira and Adam Phoenix. So Adam Phoenix was a scientist, and I can't actually remember the specific lore, but I'm fairly sure in my mind, I see it as some sort of genetic experiment happened that created the Locust or caused her to become part Locust, the original queen.
Honestly, I was expecting at the end of the game to have the cog secretly be working with the Locust, because maybe they were causing those wind flares or whatever. That's what I was kind of expecting.
That would be weird.
Well, there's just something about this counselor Jin or councilwoman Jin that doesn't rub me the right way.
Well, throughout the whole game, they've got her basically trying to kill you with all the robots. And that's because she thinks that you've been kidnapping her people as the outsiders. But it's actually been the Locust have been kidnapping people.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, lady, ultimately, your robots could have told you this if you, opened up your friggin' eyes for 5 minutes.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. There's just, in terms of story, this game left me feeling a little bit wanting. It's mostly the ending that pissed me off.
That was the point, though.
But it's obviously set up for Gears of War 5. Although, I will say there was one moment in the middle where it looks like Marcus died. I actually thought they killed him. For a minute and a half, I'm thinking, man, they may actually have done it. They may actually have balls. Oh, he's fucking alive.
I thought it was kind of cheap. I'd agree.
Yeah, it was cheap, but it would have been a sadly fitting way for him to go out, because it would have been just, you know what? That's war.
Yeah, but
that happens.
The thing is, though, it would have made that whole campaign toward you going to find him completely useless. That would have pissed me off even more if he actually died.
But that's
I think they should have just cut open the thing, saw that he was alive, maybe let him sort of take a couple breathers, get going, and then like move on. I didn't think there should have been like this whole thing like, oh, wake up, the whole emotional appeal thing. I thought that was a little stupid. I was like, come on.
They probably wanted to tug at people's heartstrings. I mean, you could pretty much see it coming, though. Like, most of us knew if they killed Marcus, it would just anger the entire Gears of War community. I can see Marcus dying eventually in one of the games, but it was not going to be the very first one with a new production company. So the Coalition was not going to kill off the main character of the series on the first game that they get to work on.
I don't know, man.
This game was all about pleasing the Gears of War fan base because of Judgment's lackluster score.
The only reason I say I don't know is you look at, say, something like Star Wars The Force Awakens. We didn't think they'd kill Han Solo, and they did.
They took that risk. I mean, they... I think it really comes down to Harrison Ford really didn't want to do it anymore. Because he said that.
At the same time, if you want to cut the ties between the old games and the new, give Marcus something to do, then kill him. He'll die saving his son, guaranteed.
Oh, probably.
My guess is he'll die near the beginning of Gears 6, because Microsoft loves trilogies.
I would prefer if it was either in 5 or 6. Like, I wouldn't have wanted him to die in the first one, just because I still enjoy those characters. The Carmine brothers are supposed to fill that role of being, like, you get attached and then you don't know whether or not they're going to die. And they kind of, they mess that up by just being like, oh, he's there. Oh, he just got smushed.
Yeah.
So they kind of, when Marcus was being captured and all that, I was like, he's not going to be dead. The idea that entire town was kidnapped and they all died felt like the impact on that was really lackluster in the game, though. It was kind of like, oh, yeah, so everybody else in the town, they're gone. Like, you mean Oscar, too? And you're just like, oh, man, Oscar just died and he was like so badass and didn't even get to try to fight, like go out.
And then at the end of the game, oh, there he is.
Yeah, okay, so again,
I hate that
spoilers.
Shit. I hate that. Like, just... if you're going to decide to kill a character,
kill him.
Then just stick with it. Like,
yeah,
don't.
Commit.
Yeah, it's stupid. Come on.
I think it was because, like, they did full on kill her mother, right? She had to die. And Oscar has one of those personalities where he's going to be, like, the new Cole/Baird/Dizzy. Like, it's some group of people are going to fall in love with him. I think he's an amazing character. He's really funny, he's enjoyable. He's just like that fat jolly Santa guy that you just want to have like in the story. So when I saw the ending, like I completely thought he was just gone. So when the extended ending comes out and he cuts himself out of a snatcher and just like, where the heck is everybody? I mean, I saw it kind of coming after I saw the knife come through. I was like, oh, it's Oscar. Cause who else would it have been anyway?
And yeah. I don't know. I just think like that was kind of contradicted with the whole thing with Marcus being caught by a snatcher. Marcus is like 10 times more badass than any other character in the entire series. You're telling me that he couldn't do the same thing that Oscar did?
Think about it. Marcus didn't have a knife on him.
He didn't have a wicked beard.
He does have a wicked beard, okay?
I mean, old man Marcus is pretty good looking. Anyway, on to the multiplayer, both co-op and the versus. So apparently nobody's done the co-op but me. You guys haven't done Horde or like co-op campaign?
No, I don't have any friends.
Wow. Okay, well, for those of you listening that enjoyed Horde in the previous games, this is the best iteration of Horde. You can put your emplacements, so your guns, all that kind of stuff, your turrets, wherever you want on the map. You actually are not locked into where you put it. So you drag your fabricator, that is your spawn location, and then you can place your stuff whatever way you want as a team. Every person has their own class that they get to choose. You're able to pick up whatever weapons you want and play like any normal Gears thing, but whatever class you choose gives you bonuses. So if you are the soldier, you get bonus damage on like your assault rifle and stuff like that. You get to equip these abilities. So it's not I am soldier, so I automatically get this. It's you get to choose what you want within that class. So if you're grenade happy, go with grenades on soldier. If you love your Lancer, use the assault rifle damage plus. If you're a sniper, you better have that headshot damage bonus, or you're just being silly, because I'm sorry. I have 60% headshot damage, and that's only like a tier 3 card, which, by the way, you level up your cards, which are your abilities. So tons of customization. Everything about Horde is just... It's 3.0 Horde. Everything is better. That's pretty much all I have to say about it. The difficulty definitely feels ramped up, like they actually took Horde serious this time. I know there was a community that approached the developers and basically said, hey, we actually like Horde. We play it competitively. We would like it to be competitive. So there's leaderboards and everything for it now. It's its own game, straight up. It's amazing. Now to the versus mode, since you guys played a ton of that, apparently.
I really like it, although I'm utterly terrible at it. Although, to my defense, I did have one game where I went 17, 3, 15, and 1. So I only died once and had 17 kills. This will never happen again! I'm terrible at this. That, and I have to say this, it's going to be my one F word for the episode, but fuck the Nasher. My God, I hate that gun.
You don't like to use it, or you don't like having it shot into your face?
I don't like being turned into giblets. it's that, and I suck with it. Although, my two guns, my go-to, is my Hammer Burst and my Lancer. People hate me with the Hammer Burst. I've been told off so many times, which is funny, because I find in this version of Gears, people are a lot more chatty.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard one person talk once.
Oh, yeah. I got told to get out of the spawn, you whatever, or stop shooting me with the Hammer Burst, or stop sniping. Like,
well, stop playing the game you want to and play it the way I want to.
Yeah, I'm like, what the... no one sits with the Hammer Burst. I'm like, okay, I've played probably about 30 matches of the game since launch. And I have seen the Hammer Burst used offensively maybe 5 times.
It's interesting because the Hammer Burst has always been one of those weapons where most people don't use it. But the people that do, that have mastered that weapon, will kick the crap out of you.
Yeah, it's the hipster's Lancer.
I love my Hammer Burst because I have one of those Xbox
controllers. So I have Mike, you're... audio just kind of cut out there.
Okay.
You're good now.
So I have it set up because I have the Xbox One Elite controller. So I have the extended thumbsticks, the reduced kind of whatever. I know. I'm super fancy for my COD. So I'm sitting at I sit further back with my Hammer Burst. I can pick you off across the map as long as I can see your head. And I've gotten headshots right across the map and dropped people with it. And people tend to get so mad. But then again, I'm the type of guy, herder, oh, there's a guy with a shotgun, oh, dead. I don't know. I float between being really good and being utterly terrible. Although, fun story, a guy the other night decided, he's like, I'm going to tell this guy off. So he messages me. I'm like, you suck, kid. I'm like, yeah, I know. I think he expected me to be mad at him. I'm just like, kind of terrible. What do you want?
Yeah, your mic's cutting out again.
I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do about it. Well, it's recording on my end fine, or at least it looks like it anyway.
Okay, it could just be Skype then.
Yeah, it's a Skype-y thing.
Anyway, so that pretty much wraps it up for most of the categories of the game. Everybody's impressions have already been said. Anybody got any final words on for a review of this game? I don't like giving like out of 10s, so I'm going to give it a it is very close to Gears of War 3, which was my favorite of the series. This now is it's still my second favorite because they didn't give me any Carmines. I'm sorry that ruins it for me, but it is still a really good game. Highly suggest it. How about you guys?
I like it a lot, actually. It's one of those games where I didn't expect to like it as much, because Gears and I, either I really like you or I don't. This one I really did like. And the fact that I'm actually playing the multiplayer is surprising because I never play Gears multiplayer. In fact, right now, I think I'm level 15. I think the highest on like any other Gears game I've gotten is like maybe level 5. So I care enough to keep something to me. I think if you own an Xbox One and you want a good shooter exclusive, I don't think you can go wrong.
Or if you have a PC and you just want to download it from Microsoft, if you get the digital version, you get it for both, you're able to play with people on Xbox One if you're playing the co-op modes. So I have friends that I play Horde with that are on PC. So example, if you go download the PC version right now, Dodd, we can play together and I can play on the Xbox. We can't play together in Versus because in case there's any, you know, between mouse and controller, they didn't want any advantages, which is a smart move in my opinion. But it's really cool that this is the first game where we can actually do that. We can play PC and Xbox together. I highly suggest it, which, by the way, put it on our Facebook page. If you want to play Horde with us, you want to play multiplayer with us, we are totally down for playing. I like to play on harder difficulties, but if you'd like to play on casual, I'm still down for that. I love everything Gears. Cameron, how about you?
I've just really enjoyed everything about it. I love giving things a numerical score, so
okay.
Sorry about that, but I gotta do it. I'd say I'd give it about like a 9-ish. Sort of low 9, score. Maybe mid 9, something like that. I'm enjoying the shit out of this game. Like there's hardly anything that I can say that I dislike about it. I'm popping people's heads, I'm blowing people into giblets, there's nothing I can really say that I dislike about it.
I'm the same. Like, even though I said that I like Gears of War 3 more, it's literally only because there is nothing to do with the Carmine brothers other than killing off one of them that didn't even get his name. If Clayton Carmine was in the multiplayer or he showed up in the campaign and just like mowed down a bunch of locusts and was like, oh, hey, whatever, I'm going to go eat some bacon.
I'm also then,
here. Yeah, then I'd just be like, okay, perfect 10 out of 10 or something. Maybe not perfect, but...
So here's a question I got for everybody. In terms of multiplayer, who do you guys have as your avatars? I mean, what characters have you unlocked so far?
Vintage Kate, because I'm vintage, and I played
vintage
the beta.
Vintage Kate was from the beta, and I didn't even get her because I didn't have enough time to level.
I don't think I have Vintage Kate, yeah.
I'm cool, and I have it. So
I currently have, I think, a V-Day female gear equipped because...
Yep, same here. I've got her.
Well, you said you had the E-Day regular gear.
Oh,
right?
I've got both.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, he's got both.
I collect only... I love to army build, quote-unquote, so I always collect the ordinary-looking soldiers. Then I'll go after main characters, but go on.
See, I usually, like in most Gears multiplayer, I will either go with a Carmine brother or the generic Cog, because then I can instill myself as, hey, I'm that Cog. I have a helmet on, so you're not seeing me, whatever. But I do generally play as Oscar, just because I only really have the core set of people. And like from my random unlocks, I've got the V-Day female gear, which I'm like, I'm not a girl. I don't really want to play that. I played her as a couple times. It's... Something really interesting I want to throw out there as a little bonus for the episode here. Has anyone noticed that when you kill a... Well, actually, you guys don't play Horde, so you wouldn't even encounter this. So in Horde, when you kill the little ball things that are like replacing... I can't remember what they're actually called, but
tickers.
They call them...
Tickers, yeah.
Yeah, they're like tickers, but they call them crackers. So... Straight up, they say, kill that cracker.
Racist!
And the only characters I've ever heard say it are the African-American characters. So I don't know if that's just because of like my coincidence or something, but it was really funny to me.
Good night, everybody.
Yep.
I'm going to chalk that up to just simple coincidence.
I think it is. Somebody told me that the other characters all do say it. It's just I've only ever heard it from like this V-Day character and Del. And it was one of those. It made me smile.
Trying to think of like other characters.
I usually only play Baird. I've played Gears 1, Gears 2, and Gears 3. I don't have him in the new one, which really pisses me off because he's my favorite character in the entire series. I just love how sarcastic he is and like his commentary as he's killing people. Like, oh yeah, you're dead. Oh, sorry about that. Like, he's kind of just like so nonchalant about everything. And
he does that in the campaign too, which yeah. is great.
He's like, what? You don't call, you don't write.
I have all the legendary pre-order characters. So like Old Marcus, Tomorrow Anya. I have E-Day Hoffman, Dress Uniform Hoffman. V-Day or E-Day gear, boy and girl, V-Day gear, boy and
man,
girl.
Man, you've gotten a lot of character skins.
Yeah, like, see, that's the only thing I use. Like, if I bought, I've bought a couple, like, probably $30 or more of the customization packs, is all I want are character skins.
Mm. You can get them through just playing the game, too, though.
Yeah, but you have to be good, and I suck.
I don't. You just have to play matches, and you get some whether you win or lose.
Yeah, there's nothing that you can do to redeem yourself.
Sorry. I'm terrible.
But that's okay. A lot of people are terrible at gears. Like, it's just got a ridiculous learning curve.
Yeah, see, I don't get how Pete... Like, I saw one guy today. I don't get how the hell... He had 17 kills, like 28 downs, and like 2 deaths. I'm like...
While bouncing.
How the hell do you get that good?
That's how you do it, wall bouncing.
What the hell does that mean?
You don't know what wall bouncing is? It's where you go up to a wall or like a piece of cover and then you cancel it before you actually get into it. And you just keep doing that so that people can't hit you at all.
Wow. Yeah. No, I'm not that good.
It's not technically immunity, but yes, it does give you some immunity frames.
like, there are some people in this game that are unbelievably good. I don't get it. I mean, the odd really good game where I'll score over 1,000, but typically I'm under 1,000. I get a lot of assists, mostly because I sit back and I harass people with my hammer burst, but I don't get it, man. Like, there are people that are friggin' surgeons with that Nasher shotgun.
The thing is, like, it was actually intended for players like you, eh? Like, even in Gears 2, when they did their first launch day thing, they actually took out, what was it? Didn't they take out, like, cover canceling or something like that? Or they made it so that you had to go into cover and you couldn't go up and, like, just shotgun blast people? It was intended as, like, a cover-based shooter, right? So the fact that people go up and just blast each other with the shotguns is actually just, like, a new thing that the fans started doing.
Well, it was very heavy in Gears of War 1, and yeah, it was never intended, but because they're trying to push this one into a competitive scene, they're allowing stuff like that because it's more of a competitive area for you to be able to do that, those kind of tactics, and be able to basically break the game by doing things that aren't normal. You can still get by just using the cover and stuff, though. You just have to be very aware. I find if you've ever played paintball in real life, those skills transfer over to Gears of War because it's all about your map awareness and where people are and flanking. Because if you flank somebody, it's easy to get kills on people up close. So especially if they're not behind cover, and that's where the cover-based shooters like syndrome comes in. If somebody's hiding behind cover, sometimes they get too comfortable there. So if you come running around with either a Lancer, well, any weapon, really, you have this huge advantage because they can't just get away. But they're also doing competitive Horde as well. I believe there's going to be tournaments and stuff for that, too. So I highly recommend it for you, both of you, since you guys haven't tried it at all. Definitely try that out.
Yeah, like, I'm looking forward to seeing what the esports scene for this game is going to be like. Especially, like, competitive, and if there's competitive Horde, I think that'll be interesting to watch, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's always been a low-key sort of competitive environment. It's always been, like, game battles, and that's pretty much the extent of it. Even with Halo. Like, Halo wasn't huge in esports, but, like, they're trying to do this resurgence of, like, esports awareness for these games by giving, like, huge prize pools, mm-hmm. like the $1 million one for the Gears of War tournament series. So, like, I think it would be great. I think it just really permits itself to be an excellent competitive shooter.
Yeah, so I'm really hoping that it takes off. One of the teams that I follow for esports unfortunately just recently dropped their Gears of War team, and that was Team Caliber. And I thought their Gears team was actually pretty good. I think they placed at it wasn't UMG Orlando, because that got canceled. I think it was UMG Anaheim that happened during the summer. I think they placed top eight, but I'm not sure. But anyway, I guess what else do we have to say about Gears of War 4? Like I said, I was pleasantly surprised by it.
We've pretty much sat here and nerdgasmed about how good it is between me and Cameron, and you were at least now a believer.
Yeah, like I said, I'm more accepting of it. I'm definitely getting back into Gears. I also just found out there's a new...
Oh!
you cut out there, what?
I just recently found out there's a company producing a new replica Lancer for Ooh. This based upon JD's. So I'm going to be approaching them on Monday, so look for a review of that hopefully before Christmas, because I also got the Mega Man Mega Buster, so I may do an article for Video Game Sophistry on replica video game weapons that you can buy. So be on the lookout for that, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's a pleasant experience. I think it's one of the best exclusives for the system right now. It's definitely the best exclusive for this holiday season. I think it's more fun than Forza Horizon.
I think it's a contender for Game of the Year, and it's probably going to lose for Game of the Year because it's so early on.
I think
people are going to forget about it when they go to vote how good it actually was.
I think in terms, at least for shooters, I think it'll go up hard against Battlefield. Because I've been playing the Infinite Warfare beta. I don't see that being a very... I don't see the competitive scene for that game lasting long. I really don't. It's fun, but I don't see competitive. Gears, I think it's got a lot more legs to it than what I may think.
I'm going to be playing this until Titanfall 2 comes out, and then I'll probably play the crap out of that for a week, and then I'm going to alternate the two. I'm not even picking up any other shooters this year. There's just too many games for me to buy this year.
To me, it's nothing but Titanfall and Skyrim.
I think the only thing that'll prevent this game from being nominated, well, it'll definitely be nominated, but from winning Game of the Year, is just how it's always been associated with like a cult following, you know what I mean? It's got that sort of Rush syndrome where it can't really produce awards or get inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or something, because it's just they've always had such a cult following. Like, it's always been such a small community. Like, I think the launch day for Judgment was, what, like 15,000 people online at once?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I think that was mostly because Judgment sucked.
Well, that could very well be, but like just as a reference point, like any Gears of War, any game for that matter, that launches with 15,000 people online, a little weird.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that's about it for this episode. Again, if you want to play Horde or anything with us, you can contact us on our Facebook page or at our email.
Which is feedback@thisweekingeek.net. Also, would also like to remind people, I am running a contest right now. If you want to win a copy of the new Ghostbusters movie and a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man statue, just send me your favorite Ghostbusters moment, line, or quote, or whatever. Just celebrate the franchise in your own special way. So that's feedback@thisweekingeek.net.
Don't forget to check out our Twitch channels. We will be, well, at least I will be doing Gears of War 4 streaming both on PC and Xbox. I have done Xbox streaming. I'm going to be uploading it to PC or downloading the PC version next and showing that off for the graphical difference. Dot, are you going to be doing any streaming on it?
I'm going to be coming back to streaming probably with like Titanfall. I haven't done a lot of streaming in the last couple of months. Although I do have it set up on my PC, I really should finish playing the Ghostbusters video game, as I was doing that for a while. So, yeah, I should probably get back to that stream grind, yo.
All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in and listening. Don't forget to rev those Lancers and have a great night. I'm out. You guys can sign off too.
Bye bye.
Later, guys. We'll see you with Titanfall.
Let's go play some Horde. Boom, 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 boom
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good. Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.